Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. It's a few minutes after nine, February the 4th. Today I'm joined at the finance table by my co-chair, Senator Stedman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, and Senator Thomas. We expect the other two members to arrive shortly. Today we are going to have a high-level overview by the administration of the governor's FY09 budget supplemental request, followed by the administration's overview of the 2010 operating budget. We are joined at the table today by Karen Rayfield. Welcome to Senate Finance. You can introduce your assistant and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the committee. Karen Rayfield with OMB. With me this morning is John Boucher, who is our senior economist on staff. He's going to be assisting me with the presentation this morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here and talk to you about the governor's request. I know that in any given year there are tremendous challenges in the budget process, and this year will have it present its own challenges. I want to assure you that we are committed to working with you through this process to come to resolution by the end of the legislative session. We'll briefly go through the 09 supplemental bill that we delivered on Monday, and we will also discuss the 10 budget that was released to you in December. We know, particularly given the current financial situation, that we will be providing you with an interim forecast when we provide you with our budget amendments for the FY10 budget on February 18th. I want to go to just give you some general framework for the budget discussion.
Before you continue with the general overview, I'd like to say that if committee members have questions during the presentation, do not hesitate to ask them as we're proceeding. Please continue, Ms. Rayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The budget guidelines that we have used very consistently since this administration came into office have been sort of the framework for all of our budget development. It's been our consistent theme that we have discussed with our state agencies, our commissioners, the public, and the legislature, and very simply, to slow the growth of government, to live within our means, save for the future, and while we are doing that, to focus on those core service areas, those constitutional and statutorily responsibilities that we have, and to invest in responsible resource development, which is the economic lifeline for our state. The budget is a plan.
Senator Stedman.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I think I got a couple questions on the slide, maybe, Mr. Chairman.
Before previous slide?
Number two, page two.
Okay.
Could you help me, Mr. Chairman, with the definition of slow the growth of government, and then a definition of live within our means, so I understand what our goals are here. And maybe we can have a little dialogue on those two issues.
Before we answer that, we have been joined at the table by tardy members, Senator Huggins and Senator Elton. Can we have a definition of that from the administration?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, I think this is a very important discussion to have with the legislature. From our perspective, we have a couple of things that are in front of us that will help us with this discussion. One, we have the long-range fiscal plan, the HB 125 plans that we have been talking about, that really help us look forward into the future to see how we can best continue to provide those important state services and be able to, through responsible budgets and through prudent use of reserves, get us through the next 10 years to the time when we will see significant revenue coming from the gas line by 2018. So in that context, when we talk about slowing the growth of government, we mean, in my perspective, we mean trying to make certain that we are able to provide those critical and vital state services that Alaskans expect us within a reasonable amount of growth in government. So in our long-range plan that we released again on December 15, we looked at slowing the growth to at least or approximately a 3% increase over that period of time. There are, as you know, a number of pressures on the budget, but if we were able to achieve that, we could manage through the next 10 years to that first gas revenue. So in that context, slowing the growth of government means to still be able to provide those services that Alaskans expect by being very careful about how we do our business and helping to restrain the increase in government.
When you're talking about slowing growth government down to 3% per year, are you talking about the operating budget?
Mr. Chairman, in our long-range plan, it includes operating and capital, and the starting point is the FY09 budget is how we calculated that. And of course, there are going to be adjustments to that as we look at the revenue picture and the draws that we will likely need to make from our reserve accounts. But even with that and within that, that FY09 base gives us the ability in our fiscal model that we have right now to do that. So living within our means then combines not only the fiscal discipline that we're talking about in slowing particularly the agency growth of government, but also the wise use of reserves when necessary to advance the state.
Senator Stedman?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Yes. Chairman, could Mr. Boucher add a comment?
Senator Stedman, through the chair.
Mr.
Boucher. One of the things in the long-range plan that was critical is, in looking at that 3% number, is that we assumed inflation at 2.75% and population growth at 1%. And so one of the goals that we tried to do is make sure that the government, and this was overall general fund spending, essentially an all-in general fund number, was less than the sum of population growth plus an assumed inflation rate.
Thank you, Mr. Boucher. Senator Stedman.
Having some targeted range of
for the information, for the record, that last spokesman was John Boucher.
That seems like a reasonable target, the 3%. I mean, I don't really have a lot of concern about that. But we still have, some of us at this table, a difficulty when we parse out what we're dealing with on the government growth side with the operating versus the capital budget, or a combination of both. So would it be then proper for myself as the co-chair here dealing with the capital side to use a 3% projection on our capital budget, and the operating co-chair to use 3% projection on the operating side, and then we're within our means and everything will be fine?
Mr. Chairman,
the 09 as a base?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, the 3% is based on the total of both operating and capital. So it's all expenditures that we would see over time. We didn't separate out operating and capital. It was a total look at the total expenditures in 09 and with a 3% growth rate. So you clearly would be making adjustments between the operating and capital budgets from one year to the next.
Senator Stedman.
I think my co-chair here does a very good job with the operating account, quite frankly. I think he does a better job than I could, the operating account. But my concern is the operating account is going to devour the capital account. And the operating account is up probably 20-25% in the last couple, three years. And under that scenario, everything else being equal, our capital account will implode. So my concern is we'll get up one day and sit at this table and the entire budget will go to the operating account and we'll have a federal match capital budget and no ability to deal with much else. So I think we need to have some dialogue on this issue. Clearly the operating account is a much harder entity to make cuts to, and we'll see that over the next few months. It's extremely difficult. In fact, I'd be very surprised if we brought in an operating account below the previous year. And that operating account was bigger than the year before that, and I would expect next year's operating account to be larger than this year's. It's that big of a problem we're dealing with. So with that underlying issue, it does concern me that we have two component parts, and we need to be very careful.
I would agree with you, Senator Stedman, and this to have the growth of the operating budget and the capital budget combined and not delineate what percent goes to the operating budget and what percent goes to the capital budget on an annual basis gives me some concern. In past years, I think that although it hasn't been a written rule, when we do have additional revenues, the capital budget is a lot larger, and then when the revenues are lower than anticipated, such as we're in today, we have a much leaner capital budget. It's much easier to control spending through what level of capital budget is than any other tool that we might have.
If I could, just one general comment for everybody. We need to look beyond what we code as general fund. We need to look at total state spending, which would include what normally is listed as other state funds or other funds. Sometimes we've used the verbiage Alaska funds. It was coined by one of our past committee chairmen from Fairbanks. But what I don't want to personally see us do over the next several months, and maybe even in the next year when we struggle with this issue, is play accounting games. We're moving funds between the general fund and other state funds to artificially appear that we're lowering state spending when state spending is actually growing and we're just doing a fund source changes. And I think that's a very dangerous game to play, because it would appear from the novice looking at general fund spending that the budget is going down when in fact the budget is actually increasing. And I know I've had conversations with my co-chair on that issue the last few years. I know it's been a practice, and I've done it in my subcommittees, so I am certainly have some experience in doing that. But it is a dangerous game to play, so I would encourage us to keep an eye on our total GF and non-GF spending and not get wrapped up in accounting games and soundbite misinformation to the public on what we're doing at this table.
Thank you for those comments, Senator Stedman. Please proceed, Mr. Rayfield. Oh, Senator Thomas, you have a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just don't want to hang us up on the first page of the presentation, but does the concept of slowing the growth of government include the implementation of, quote, proven concepts in education, prevention, intervention, those things that we so often hear in other committees' discussions about how we can lower the cost of the things which are, in many cases, the most rapidly increasing, the corrections, other social services, public safety, those types of things? Is that something that you're taking a serious look at this point in time, is to implement some of their long range, obviously, but they have to get started at some point in time?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rayfield. Thomas, clearly I think that does include some looking down the road at some of those other initiatives or opportunities to do a better job in areas like education. There may be some costs associated with that would have to be addressed in the context of the overall effort to slow the growth of government. I agree with the comments by Senator Stedman, which is exactly why the administration has focused on slowing the growth of government, so that in those out years we are able to modestly increase the budget where necessary, particularly in the agency portion, the state public employees, the people who deliver the services to the public, to maintain a reasonable amount and responsible amount of growth over time, but still be able to provide for those capital and other needs that we're going to have down the road. And Mr. Chairman, if I could just make a comment about the budget as it is and the use of other funds. I know that we spent a lot of time last session, which I thought was very productive, talking about uses of different fund sources, how we present them to the public so that we didn't have apples and oranges. I think we have come a very long way. Mr. Teal, in his overview, I believe, has suggested that not only did we come in with a very modest increase in the operating budget, but also that we have aligned our fiscal summaries, a couple of minor areas, one minor area and one probably not so minor area for the Alaska Housing Finance Funds. But I think we clearly have come a very long way in addressing some of the concerns that Senator Stedman laid out about using other funds and not being clear about what we're doing.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Ms. Rayfield, please continue with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could go to the next slide. We're talking here about the budget being a planning tool. I'm sorry. I thought Senator Elton had
it. Senator Elton.
Thanks. And thanks, Mr. Chair. And thanks for the presentation. I don't want to quite leave the point on the other funds yet. And maybe I'm getting a little bit confused. For example, in the supplemental budget request, there's an allocation of $6 million for state parks that is designated as other funds, and the other fund source being cruise ship gambling tax. Why would that be other funds instead of general funds?
You're going into the supplemental. It's a general question, but we're going to have a presentation on the supplemental at a later date, so I would appreciate if further members can keep their comments to the presentation on the 010 budget. But Ms. Rayfield, can you respond to that, please?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Elton, yes. The two areas that I mentioned of differences between the way we rolled out our December budget and the Legislative Finance Division's budget analysis was one having to do with the treatment of the gambling tax. We had proposed in the 10 budget to spend $12 million of gambling proceeds, $6 million of that for the Division of State Parks, some of their infrastructure improvements. I agree with Mr. Teal that those should appear in the general fund column. They appear in the revenue forecast book as general fund revenue. We're making that change in both the, you'll see in the supplemental bill, to spend the $6 million out of 09 proceeds because that is a correction to the budget. And also in 10, you'll see a budget amendment to correct that. The other area where Mr. Teal and OMB differ is in the use of the Alaska Housing Capital Corporation funds that we show on our spending plan under the other column, but we have it on its own line. You can see the amount that we intended to spend out of those funds in the 10 budget. We will be revisiting that item, I'm certain, when we bring the amendments before you. At this point, we have just agreed to disagree on whether or not those should be in the general fund column. And my reason for that, Mr. Chairman, is that for the most part in the GF column, I think it's helpful to focus on specifically when we talk about revenues and revenue shortfalls, to have that GF column be specific to the forecasted revenue so that we don't confuse with by adding or subtracting other items out of that column. And that's really the only reason that we disagree on that particular place. But I think after all the effort last year, those are really the only two areas where we disagreed, and we're fixing part of that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Senator Elton. Senator Stedman.
On the earlier point, Mr. Chairman, if I could, got this pesky document called the Alaska Constitution that gets in the way once in a while of freewheeling visions of some elected officials. We have Article 9, Section 16, an appropriation limit. And within the appropriation limit, they talk about the growth of our operating account relative to the capital account, and they're using inflation and population growth, similar to what was stated here earlier. But it says, within this limit, at least one-third shall be reserved for capital projects and loan appropriations. So I'd like to have the administration, Mr. Chairman, come back to this committee and help us understand Article 9, Section 16, and the appropriation allocation between operating and capital.
Mr. Chairman, we can certainly do that.
Great. Thank you, Senator Stedman. Further questions? Seeing none, Ms. Rayfield, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next slide I can go over quickly. This is basically the budget as a planning tool. The better job we do in developing the budget, the better the tool is going to be. We know that I just put up here for you some of the fundamental building blocks that we use, again, when we work with our departments to bring those budget requests to you. We focus on our core services. We look for efficiencies, try to identify savings. If possible, we redirect existing resources to higher priority items, and again, limiting the growth of government. If we could turn, Mr. Chair.
Senator Stedman, Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Rayfield, in that sense, you and I have talked about over the last 2 years, I was sort of distressed by the whole thing when I discovered that we were allocating capital money, in this case to DOT projects, and they were sitting in an account someplace, and we were grinding through inflationary-wise, eating up that, and then you were having to reinforce those accounts by about 50% because the inflationary rate was chewing them up. My question for you, I think it directly reflects back to the efficiency piece. Would you describe to me how we have fixed that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, I don't know that I can say to you that we've fixed that particular problem. What I do know is that we are continually working with our departments to improve the way they do their business. Clearly, there are complexities that result in things taking longer than they should have, and that type of thing on a project-by-project basis. But that doesn't mean that as a state government, we can't do a better job of trying to address those problems. But I can't say today that we have fixed all of those. But I can assure you, we continue to work with our agencies to do that.
Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Ms. Rayfield, please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, the next part of the presentation will go to specifically the 09 situation, and I thought it would be helpful to just do a visual for you of where we started the current fiscal year budget and where we are today. So this chart basically walks you through when we presented the FY 2009 budget to you in December of 2007. We were looking at an estimated revenue of $5.3 billion with oil price at $66.32 a barrel. So we came out with a request in December of just with our budgeted appropriations is about $4.6 billion and savings appropriations at that time. Then as we went through the session and we got to the revised forecast in May, the price of oil was going up. The spring forecast was revised up to $83.04 a barrel with about $7.5 billion in revenues. As you know, we completed the budget work. We had an estimated surplus that would go into the savings into the Constitutional Budget Reserve with even more surplus anticipated. At that time, in the summer months, oil was spiking. We had we were dealing with energy challenges across the state because of that increased price of oil over $100 a barrel. There was great expectation of even more surplus being available. Went into special session, and then after that special session from September through December, we saw a rapid decline in oil prices. That brought us to our December 15 release and fall forecast, which projected 09 at $77 a barrel, coming back down on 6.7 or 6.8 billion of revenue roughly, which is what we presented to you in December. With the oil price continuing to decline, the Department of Revenue has done an interim forecast, which puts oil at $63.28, approximately $5.5 billion in revenue. And with the supplemental bill that we presented to you yesterday, the anticipated shortfall is about $1.36 billion in the current fiscal year. This is a significant challenge, but we do have options and to address the revenue shortfall, which I know we're going to be spending time discussing here. So this was just a visual to walk you through kind of where we started, and we're ending up fairly close to where we started the discussion about fiscal year 09. So what steps have we taken to address a revenue shortfall? Several things have happened. Last summer, when the governor signed the appropriation bills, even with the price of oil being very high last summer, she instructed her departments to look for a savings target of approximately $20 million. We know that we lapse generally some amount of general fund at the end of a fiscal year. The goal here was to start at the beginning of the fiscal year actually trying to manage our budgets for efficiencies, utilizing those things that we had some control over at the beginning rather than waiting until the end of the fiscal year to try to find some savings. We wanted to start at the beginning. We asked our agencies to look very carefully at their programs and what they could do to achieve that savings target. When the agencies put together their plans, probably about half of that was targeted at managing personal services across a fiscal year. We know we already have a budgeted vacancy factor. We also know that we've had some areas where we do have difficulty recruiting. We are asking our departments to manage not only personal services, but that's about half of what the savings plans were targeting was personal services savings. Also, when the governor spoke in her State of State address,
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Karen, on the $20 million, could you give us where the meter was at the half the fiscal year, at the halfway point?
Mr. Chairman, Senator.
Well, let me back up for a moment. Do you get that report? At the 6 months here, do you get a tick for what the savings forecast is?
Right. Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, we have asked our departments to report quarterly. In the December, at the second quarter, we were on track for about 11.2 or 3 million of that savings targets. Not all of our agencies were able to achieve that amount. We did end up holding public safety and military and veterans affairs harmless from the savings target, even though those departments are very much looking for efficiencies within their organizations, but we didn't hold them to that target. And what you will see in the supplemental bill that we submitted to you is about $17.5 million of the $20 million target is allocated to the departments based on those saving plans that they came up with. So we believe that's a reasonable amount that the agencies will be able to achieve in the fiscal year given the plans they put in place and their reports to us so far.
Yeah, very good. I would just like, if I could, Mr. Chairman,
please proceed, Senator Gregg.
When we got halfway through the fiscal year, the second quarter, at the end of the second quarter, you know, what the allocation of savings was. That'd be interesting. I would enjoy that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins will provide that to you.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Senator Elton.
Thanks. And if this is more than a yes or no question, maybe you can just get the answer back to the rest of us through the chair. But you mentioned here the hiring freeze. Does that hiring freeze include positions that are paid for with federal funds?
No. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Carlton. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just on the earlier point of Senator Huggins, I'd like to see the breakdown also, because the way we look at the numbers, it appears that there's we can't quite get it that up. There's 13.3 million in some unallocated reductions, but it'd be nice to see the $20 million goal achieved and where it came from. But to my main point here on slide number five, at least initially, the top half of the slide, there seems to be a couple of component parts that are missing. As I recall, the 09 budget process here at the table, we put out our operating account and a capital budget, of which ballpark 245 or so million was vetoed out of the capital budget. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but just ballpark numbers for those listening at home. So just rounded off to 250 million, which is a sizable savings, although it takes projects off the street, which we're trying now to get back on the street for employment purposes, because the budget was, by some accounts, was too big and bloated and too much spending. Yet in the fall, in August, as I recall, there was appropriation requests for about $1 billion, again rounded off, 750 million rounded off, to special energy dividend in a declining oil environment, clearly with the declining revenue environment we were faced with, which is substantially bigger than the capital reductions. And there was also appropriations that were requested of this table, well beyond that, that the Finance Committee removed with some concern of the impact it was going to take, the impact that it would have, and then we'd have to be dealing with it. So I'm just kind of curious on the presentation why we don't have the whole list of what was asked for in spending from the administration that the committee decided to postpone till a future date, and you know, why the adjustments to the capital account aren't showing too. So we see a total picture, but when I added up, the spending would be substantially larger today if we would approve all the requests of the administration, in excess of over $1 billion.
Ms. Rayfield.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, clearly last summer during the special session, the picture looked significantly different than it does today. We did approve the one-time resource rebate, which we believe was the appropriate thing to do given the high prices of fuel and energy costs across the state, and did help Alaskans. Many of those other requests that were brought to you during the special session were related specifically to gas line infrastructure. And given the revenue picture today, we have significantly modified those requests. In the 2010 budget that you'll see, there is a request for about $80 million to continue to advance the gas line project. But some of those items that we did bring forward during the special session, again, at a very different point in time that you did not approve, we are not proposing to bring back to you at this time.
Senator Stedman.
If I could follow up, Mr. Chairman. The point being our fiscal position today. And when I look back into the 08 budget cycle, there were requests for a public education endowment for $1.5 billion, and transportation endowment for $500 million, energy endowment for $250 million. Excuse me, that was $500 million for the endowment of the energy. And although we went forward with some of the energy issues at a lot lower amount because of the need and the distress our citizens are facing dealing with high energy costs, the concern I have, if we would have followed the administration's advice, we would have substantially less liquidity on the table today to deal with, which we're going to get into here shortly, in our savings. And we'd be put in a position where we have substantially less flexibility than we have today if this committee didn't step up to the plate and block some of these cash eating, in my opinion, short-sighted fiscal request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Rayfield, do you have a response?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, we did roll out a number of ideas for your consideration in terms of not only the Public Education Fund, the Energy Fund. We did propose looking at a state-funded transportation program, which over time, we do know that there's significant infrastructure needs in this state that will need to be addressed. I think clearly that was part of the process, and at the end of the day, we all agreed on the savings proposals that were put forward, including the savings appropriations to the Constitutional Budget Reserve, your appropriations to the Statutory Budget Reserve, the Renewable Energy Fund, and some of the other initiatives that I think through the process we collectively agreed to. So.
Thank you, Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed with your presentation, Ms. Rayfield.
Mr. Chairman, I think I was on the hiring freeze. The governor announced during her State of the State message that for the rest of this fiscal year, we have 5 months left in this fiscal year, she directed departments to look again for additional savings. This was submitted as an additional management tool for agencies to achieve additional savings. Anything that we do see in savings for the rest of this fiscal year, of course, will lapse into the general fund, go into the CBR, and reduce the amount we would need to draw from reserves at the end of the fiscal year. There are some mechanisms within the hiring freeze for agencies to request a waiver. There are a number of positions that are exempt from the hiring freeze because they're either providing public service, they're in a 24-hour institution, they're 100% federally funded. Our analysis as of December 31st was that there were approximately 1,500 full-time positions vacant on that day. Of those, about 844 of those were generally or either partially or fully general funded positions. When we looked at how many of those would be exempt specifically from the hiring freeze criteria, there were about 291 of those positions that were completely exempted, the general fund positions, and that leaves approximately 550 that would be subject to the hiring freeze or the waiver request process. So, and these positions are located statewide. They're scattered statewide. I did pull some information on actually the locations of those positions. Of the 844 that were partially or fully generally funded, in the three largest areas, Anchorage had 360, Fairbanks had 76, and Juneau had 205 of those positions. So, and after we determined those that would be exempt, the remaining positions that would be subject to the freeze were Anchorage 241, Fairbanks 48, and Juneau 176. So, again, I just wanted to reiterate that any of the savings that are achieved from the hiring freeze would result in funds lapsing into the general or into the Constitutional Budget Reserve at the end of the year and help us reduce the amount of the draw at the end of the year.
Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just wonder if OMB could share the data that you collected and just highlighted with the committee.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Elton. Ms. Rayfield, please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, just to highlight then on the supplement.
Senator Olson, do you have a question?
Actually, Senator Huggins did.
Senator Huggins?
Ms. Rayfield, number one, if you could give us a copy of the guidance to the different departments on hiring mechanisms, because we're going through the subcommittee review process, and then what your estimated savings would, or your goal, if you will, in the hiring freeze. And it would be helpful to me to get a monthly synopsis of waivers requested, waivers that were allowed. In addition, just a specific question, the other day I was talking to one of your directors and asked, and their particular directorate had some half-time employees that were projected, or they were requesting to go to full-time employees, and they did not understand whether that was allowed within the hiring freeze criteria or not. It was state-funded. So my question to you, if you're going from half-time to full-time, it appears to me that is not allowed. Is that correct? Because it costs money.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, I believe that that probably would not be subject to the hiring freeze. We had, and I don't have the document in front of me, but I will get it to you. There were promotions within a department and things like that were exempted from the hiring freeze. So I think in your situation, we'd have to look at the individual case, but I don't think that that would be subject to the hiring freeze if it's the person is in the position and they need it to be a full time. I don't believe that would be part of it, but I'll confirm that with my
staff. Senator Huggins?
Yeah, you have to excuse me for a moment, but that appears to be a huge loophole. I have no idea how many half-time employees or quarter-time employees, but if you have a half-time employee and two of them become full-time employees, you now have one full-time employee equivalent. I don't know what the order of magnitude is, but that doesn't appear to me to be a promotion. It is a hiring provision. So anyway, whatever the rule is, I would be interested in seeing what that is.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, I can certainly give you, we'll give you the information on the instructions that we sent out to departments. I do know that there are areas that departments have had questions, and we're going to need to clarify some things. But again, this is a management tool really designed to help us achieve some additional savings in the current year, but still be able to provide those essential services. The estimate of the savings in the year, what I can tell you is that of those positions that were vacant, we were looking at, you know, the general fund portion of those positions that were vacant, potentially a $12 million savings. If you didn't put any of those on board, which, you know, I don't think that we're going to achieve that, because a number of those, again, are exempt from the hiring freeze. There will be waivers granted. We are keeping a log of the requests that come in, and we can certainly provide that to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Huggins. Please proceed with your testimony. Ms. Rayfield.
Mr. Chairman, in the supplemental bill, you know, clearly with the declining oil prices, we asked our departments to look for additional reductions in the current year. We asked them to update the savings plans that we've talked with you about already. We asked them to scrutinize their existing appropriations for anything that could be reduced or deleted in the current year. The bill that we submitted to you yesterday reduces general funds by $218.6 million. In addition, because of all of these efforts, the combination of these efforts, we will not need to carry forward that $50 million placeholder on the spending plan for supplementals. So when you look at the fiscal summary, which we also released with the bill, you will see that the total then of general fund spending reductions is the $268.6 million that we rolled out yesterday.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know when we're going to go into the supplemental to 268, so whenever that time is appropriate, just let us know.
Do you want to get into it right now, Senator Stedman?
It's up to you, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed.
I've got some concerns. And again, this, you know, we just got this information, and it takes us time to digest it. It's complicated, as anybody that sat at this table knows, the state of Alaska. But the $50 million placeholder, when we do a budget in our regular session, we know there's going to be some budgetary adjustments coming in January, February, to get the administration or get the state through the end of that fiscal year, which ends in June. So last year we penciled in $50 million. Some years it was substantially higher, some years we hope it's lower. But help me understand, because I'm not an accountant, help me understand that. Is that actually in the budget, or is it just in an Excel summary document, or where, if I went and looked for that $50 million in the accounting of the state, where would I find it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, the placeholders appear in both OMB and Ledge Finance's fiscal summaries. I don't know if it was done in prior administrations, but since I've been involved with this job, what we've attempted to do when we bring you the spending plan every year is include as comprehensively as we can the an anticipated amount, including the supplementals. Our $50 million placeholder has been a fairly consistent number. And what happens with that is in your fiscal summary in Ledge Finances or in OMB's, that rolls into the calculation of the increase in the operating budget. The $50 million is always part of that. So when you look at the spending plan for '09, either in December or in the interim that we presented to you yesterday, that is part of those totals. So when you look at your total expenditures, including the $50 million, what you're either short or over will be the amount that you would need. If you're short, you would have to go into the constitutional budget reserve. We're not asking for any increase in appropriations in '09. We're actually reducing the appropriations that you had already authorized for '09. So that $50 million is no longer necessary on the spending plan. So it reduces the amount that we would need to take from the constitutional budget reserve at the end of the fiscal year. So it's very clear on your fiscal summaries. It's been treated that way. We have a placeholder for operating capital and even fiscal notes that may or may not be approved by you during the session. The idea is to give you as complete a package as we can at the beginning of the process, and then we adjust from there.
Senator Stedman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe the next item, help me understand this. Oil, the $200 million, which is by far the biggest chunk that we're dealing with here, $200 million in oil and gas credits, a reduction in an authorization. Help me understand that, because isn't that just an authorization to allow the Treasury then to purchase credits from small gas and oil producers that may not have the ability to sell their capital credit into an Exxon or a BP or somebody that's large and liquid, so they could have a liquid market for that credit, as I understand it. So we give you an authorization here at the table to facilitate business transactions for the coming year. But if there's truly a decline in the demand for that capital credit being put to the Treasury at the end of the year, wouldn't the $200 million an authority, it would never be put to the Treasury, and at the end of the year when you do your books, it's gone anyway?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, I know that Commissioner Galvin will be here tomorrow to talk with you about revenue, and I'm sure he could answer, more details about how the tax credit works. But from the budget perspective, what we had included in the budget for '09 was $400 million for payment of these tax credits. Department of Revenue, this is a fairly new program. The indication from the Department of Revenue is that given the timing of the actual applications from companies to receive the credit and then the payment of the credit, they will not be able to spend the full $400 million in the current year. That's why we're proposing to reduce the authorization that then will reduce the amount that we would need at the end of the fiscal year. We won't need to spend that $200 million in the current year. We could leave it alone and it would just lapse. But again, we are in a situation where we're looking at over a $1 billion shortfall, and it seemed appropriate, particularly if we knew that we were not going to need to spend that $200 million in the current year, to accurately reflect what the spending proposal would be.
Senator Stedman?
A little confused, because I thought the way we did the CBR, we put in kind of blanket language to make a draw on the CBR, whatever we need to balance the books, basically, at the end of the fiscal year. What comes out in the wash, as long as you've got a balance in the CBR larger than the draw on it. So, you know, I guess I have trouble, you know, connecting those dots. If it's a real reduction in spending in '09, doesn't appear to me to be. And then the next question is, if there's 200 million that you thought was going to hit the, be a call in the Treasury this year, you move it forward to FY '10. FY '10 looks worse than where we are today, from all measurements except for probably mid 60s and above, or 60 and above oil prices. Clearly, at 50, it's worse, and at 40, it's not even comparison. So, help me understand that mechanism of taking this 200 million on a year that's turning out not to be as good as we thought, and put it into the FY'10 call. And are we not just playing a delay game?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stinman, clearly you will have choices in your discussions about how you choose to appropriate this. We thought it was appropriate because, based on our information from the Department of Revenue, we will not need to pay that additional $200 million in the current year. If we leave the appropriation the way it is, the money would stay into, as I understand it, in the tax credit fund and just not be spent. In the 10 budget that's before you, we have reduced the $400 million to $300 million. Again, this is a fairly new program. Department of Revenue could give you more information about how they actually process those applications. But what we were trying to do in the supplemental bill is go through, and if there were areas that we knew we were not going to need to expend the funds in the current year, we made those reductions that are in the appropriation bill before you now. So it, again, you'll have clearly your view of how best to handle that. But we thought it was appropriate to say we do not anticipate that we're going to make the $200 million worth of payments due to timing, not due to a lack of exploration. It's just a timing of when those payments get made.
Senator Stedman?
Follow up. Just, and again, we're just getting into this process, and I apologize if it's more detailed than we'd like in the very beginning, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to take a lot of work by all of us, Mr. Chairman, both in the administration and the legislature, to deal with what's coming. But if we ignore the $200 million, because assuming that there's not going to be a draw on the Treasury, a need for it, we can wash it out at the end of the year, and we get rid of the $50 million, is the net difference around $19 million on the supplemental? Or can you help me with the total, if we remove those two items and pretend they didn't exist, with all your, then you've got some allocated deductions and some, and you've got another roughly $38 million in additional spending, and, you know, we look at the total here is what we're concerned about, of course. So we net those two out. Is this really not about an $18 million difference on the Treasury?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, I think it's important to recognize that this particular supplemental bill is very unusual. Typically, what you see in a supplemental bill is an increase in the budget because of unanticipated expenditures. Clearly, when you build a budget 16 months out and you're in the current fiscal year, situations change, things change, and you need to be able to address them. What we've really done within this current fiscal year is asked our agencies to do things very differently. And we have been able to, because of the savings efforts, because of the work that we've asked them to do to minimize the requests that they bring forward, we've actually been able to cover many of the unanticipated costs that would otherwise be in front of you as an increase in the budget. What we're looking for is a decrease in the authorization for the current year and what we're going to spend in the current year. And we think that that's the appropriate thing to do. There are some, specific to your question, though, if you look at the changes that we made, the savings, the items that are included in the budget for agencies, supplementals, some of the reappropriations, and there's one fund source change that is significant for a project, the McLaughlin Youth Center renovation. There's a $14 million fund source change that we're proposing from general funds to tobacco bond interest proceeds. So if that's acceptable to the legislature, then we would be able to save that $14 million in addition to the other adjustments that we've made in the supplemental bill.
Senator Stedman, does that conclude your questions?
No. I'm trying to figure out the net number, but I think I misspoke myself, because there's $200 million in a capital credit and then the $50 million in the placeholder. So if we just ignore the placeholder, or you can add it in, I guess, either way you want to calculate it. But if we view it right or wrong, if we view it from the perspective that the $200 million doesn't really count and the $50 million doesn't really count, the question is, what's the net impact on the Treasury?
Mr. Chairman, I understand your question, Senator Stedman, but I guess I would say that we have always counted those items as part of the overall spending plan. It's part of what we talk about when we say this is so much of an increase in the agency operating budget. What we're trying to suggest is that it's appropriate for us to adjust the spending plan based on what we know today and what we're bringing forward to you in the supplemental bill. So I would suggest that both of those pieces would be important to include in the entire picture.
So could you add them up for us, or should we ask Ledge Finance to add them up?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, there's all the information on the web right now of every single transaction we proposed in the supplemental with the backup, so it's all there.
I think it's quite clear to say that the $200 million is an expenditure that is beyond our control and is beyond the governor's control. So it isn't really a savings. It's just we anticipated something that isn't coming forth. But it's not. I would not view that as a traditional "quote unquote" savings at this point. It's just, and the administration may be wrong. You know, those companies may come forward. We still have 6 months in this year, or 5 months in this fiscal year to play out. So I think that's something that we need to discuss at this table. Senator Stedman?
All right. That's fine. We'll work that issue out later on with the Department of Revenue when we get a better layout of the credits. But the duly noted point, Mr. Chairman, that there, at least from the viewpoint today, there's a possibility over the next 5 months we could have some of these credits put to the Treasury.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Senator Elton.
Well, thank you. And both of you have bored in on the question that I was going to ask, so I'm just going to make a comment that I think part of what is disturbing, and maybe the good part of the discussion this morning and the presentation this morning, is that people outside this building are getting very confused. They hear about a savings of $268 million, and what we've identified is that on $200 million of that anyway, I mean, it's not necessarily a savings. It could still happen, and if it doesn't happen this year, we'll have to spend it next year. And so I do think this was a very important discussion. I appreciate the latitude of the chair to talk about it, simply because I can tell you that people who are getting in touch with me, and the portrayals in the newspapers and in the media, is that the governor has saved $268 million. It just hasn't happened.
Thank you, Senator Elton. Please proceed with your testimony, Ms. Rayfield.
Mr. Chairman, just one comment, and then I'll wrap up this slide. If we're not going to spend the $200 million, which the Department of Revenue has suggested that we would not be spending in the current fiscal year, it will reduce the amount that we're spending. So, I mean, I think that it's just part of the way that we talk about that.
Mr. Chair, I don't disagree with that, but you have to add on that if we don't spend it this year, we'll be spending it next year. Therefore, there is no savings to the Treasury. I mean, maybe we don't spend as much, but to suggest and just leave it at the point where we're not spending it this fiscal year suggests to people that we save $200 million. Just It's not true if we're spending it in the next year. I mean, describing it as a timing issue, I think, confuses Alaskans.
Thanks, Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last point on this slide is, Mr. Chairman, clearly we will need to have your authorization to access reserves at the end of the fiscal year. In Section 20 of the supplemental bill, you will see the request to utilize the constitutional budget reserve at the end of the fiscal year to balance the budget.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Karen, what do you anticipate that amount being?
According to the spending plan that we released yesterday with the supplemental, it would be about $1.36 billion. We will not know, of course, until the end of the fiscal year and all the actual expenditures are completed, how much that will be, but that's the estimate.
Right. And do you anticipate any more modifications going forward over the next five-plus months to abridge that amount downward?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, specifically additional reductions
right. That
we would propose?
Right.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, I think working with the legislature as the supplemental bill goes through the legislature would be the opportunity, if there were any, to do additional changes to the budget. But at this point, the supplemental is before you. Our next review is going to be of the 10 budget, because our budget amendments are due to you on the 18th of February. So we'll be dealing with the 10 budget as well.
So as administration, I guess at this point in time, is accepting a $1.3 billion shortfall?
Mr. Chairman, that's the estimate that's on the table today.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Huggins. Please proceed, Ms. Rayfield.
Mr. Chairman, the next slide is just a snapshot for you of the reserves that we do have to draw upon. I suspect there will be considerable discussion in the legislature and the public about the best use and which reserves to rely on. As you can see in the constitutional budget reserve as of December 31st, we had just under $7 billion in reserve funds. That's split almost evenly between the main fund and the subfund of the CBR. We also have the $1 billion in the statutory budget reserve. There is the $1 billion in the public education fund. And there's also $342.3 million in the Alaska Housing Capital Fund. I know we will have additional discussion about this fund, because in our 10 budget, we have proposed to spend about $238 million of that. Now, I can tell you that we're looking at all of the requests that we put in the 10 budget, and that number may change as we roll out our amendments to you on the 18th.
The amount on the statutory budget reserve amount of $1 billion, there were no losses in that fund?
Mr. Chairman, as of
December 31st?
Mr. Chairman, that was the balance that we got from the Department of Revenue as of December 31st.
So why weren't there losses? Were they invested or were they not invested?
Mr. Chairman, I'll look at Mr. Boucher, see if we have that with us.
John Boucher, Office of Management and Budget. Senator Hoffman, my understanding is that the statutory budget reserve is essentially invested in the same manner as the general fund, which is more conservative there, and so it's much more liquid. And so it's not subject to as much volatility, for instance, as the constitutional budget reserve subfund. So I do not have the exact numbers in front of me here, but we can get those for you if you're interested.
Thank you. Senator Elton.
Well, I think that was a good question, Mr. Chair, and it kind of gets to the a question that can be answered in the future is if the losses were minimized in that fund, why wouldn't we plug some of the budget hole from the statutory budget reserve rather than the constitutional budget reserve?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Elton, that certainly is an option. We chose to put this constitutional budget reserve language before you because it clearly at this point it appears that we would need more than the $1 billion in order to balance the budget at the end of the fiscal year if all things stay the way they are at the moment. So it seemed we put the CBR language in the supplemental bill, knowing that there may be some other alternatives that the legislature might want to consider.
Thank you, Senator Elton. Senator Stedman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got a couple of points I'd like to bring up, one of which is, I guess we'll just have to gather more data, because the account balance that I'm showing here on the CBR is of November, end of November, $6 billion, that's $800 million difference than what's in front of us today. So maybe we can get a little more information from OMB on that value as of December 31st between the main and the sub-accounts, and make sure it's market value, and if they could also bring in market values as of the end of January. With the markets eroding, I think we need to take a look at those numbers for whatever they're worth. But rather than dive into that discrepancy now, that's something that should be left when we're all, you know, out of the committee, and we'll figure that out. But let me back up, if I could, Mr. Chairman. The macro concern I have here, dealing with all these budget deficits that we're faced with, is the life of our savings. And if we assume that the legislature decides that we're going to take the public education fund of roughly $1 billion, put that forward as one of the last units that we draw on to protect our K-12 education system, keep it functioning, and we work so hard to get that $1 billion put away. Then we take out, you know, $1 billion, $1.3 billion or $1.5 billion or some number this year. We take out maybe $3 billion next year, and maybe we luck out it's only two, but if we take out three, it brings us down to about $3.5 billion in net savings, which is fairly close to the sub-account number. And my concern is that we don't get backed into a situation where we have a draw on the Treasury this year, we have a draw on the Treasury in 2010, and we're put in a position where we have to fall back on the sub-account, which I think we're going to see when we get into the CBR has some policy issues and some substantial losses and time horizon issues that we're going to be talking about. And we don't put ourselves in a position where we have to fall back on this weak link within our savings, and we're in a position between a rock and a hard place.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Please proceed, Ms. Rayfield.
Mr. Chairman, the next slide, just very briefly, because I know you have all been discussing the economic stimulus bill.
Please hold that 1 second. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I thought we were going to remain on this slide. But in any event, Karen, on the last bullet on slide number 6, the Alaska Housing Finance Capital Fund, excuse the term, but didn't we earmark about $300 million of that towards a pipeline provision?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, it's been subject of some debate. $300 million was appropriated by a prior legislature into the Alaska Housing Capital account. The administration, prior administration, I believe, thought that that was a set aside for gas line expenditures. As we discussed that last year, it seemed clear that many legislators believed it was set aside for capital projects, a savings account for capital expenditures, not necessarily targeted to gas line. So the 342.3 roughly was the estimate of the $300 million plus interest that's accrued to the account. And we are proposing at this point in the 10 budget to spend a portion of that specifically for gas line related projects, but there are other items that were proposed as well. And we will be looking at all of those in our amended budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Senator Stedman.
Just to help us with these numbers as they move around, but 2 points on slide 6. It would be nice to have the amount we've contributed to the CBR and then those market values as of December 31st. We'll check those into the market values of January, end of January, it might have been the 30th, the Friday, whatever, the last trading day in January. But then, shouldn't we take Alaska Housing up here, the 342, and subtract out the 238.4 that's in the O10 budget, and have a net number up here for savings? So when we look, and us being, you know, the non-revenue guys, when we that aren't working with it every day, but when we look at this sheet on reserve balances, we're actually seeing market value, which I think is reflected here. But we have the net of the Alaska, so when we just do back of the envelope addition, we can get a pretty good idea where physically we are and how much funds we actually have to fall back on if we need to. Because if we appropriate that 238 out of the 342, that's, you know, 2/3 of it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, of course, what we were attempting to show on this slide is clearly these would be funds that are available in the current year if we and you chose to spend those or to appropriate those in the current year. We clearly would have to adjust what we were proposing in the 10 budget. It was just a snapshot to give you an as of December 31st, basically the accounts that are available.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Please proceed, Ms. Rayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly on the economic stimulus bill, you know it's moving very quickly. Your committee and the other body are also looking at resolutions to submit to Congress on this issue. We do anticipate that we would bring any of the appropriations necessary to you in a separate bill, and we expect that there would be some changes in the 10 budget related to what may be appearing in the economic stimulus package through the federal highway appropriations specifically. So I just wanted to highlight that for you.
Senator Huggins, do you have a question on that point?
Well, just for the record, I'm concerned that at this point in time, specifically as it applies to our railroad, that some of us believe that we have to minimize hauling heavy things on our roads to the extent we can. And that means the railroad. I sat down with the railroad yesterday, and my confidence level that's happening is not very high. In other words, if we can get stimulus package money to assist us in connecting the dots for railroad linkage and readjustment of, like in North Pole and places of that nature, the better off we are. Unfortunately, I'll say this one more time, unfortunately, I don't think we have integrated them into our stimulus plan, and we still have time to do that. I would encourage all of us to make sure that that happens.
Thank you for those comments, Senator Huggins. Do you have a response to that, Ms. Rayfield?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, I think that perhaps the best folks to be talking with you about how that could happen, how that integration could happen in the economic stimulus package, and what kinds of projects are eligible will be our Department of Transportation. And I suspect that they would be available to you any time.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Please proceed, Ms. Rayfield.
Mr. Chairman, if we're ready, I'd like to just go to a quick overview of the 10 budget.
Please.
Okay.
First, is there any final questions on the first half of the presentation? Seeing none, please proceed, Ms. Rayfield.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the 10 budget overview, again, this is the budget that we released in December. We are proposing a total budget of $11.2 billion, general fund of $4.9 billion. This is a decrease in general fund spending from what's in the current year, the fiscal year 2009 budget. At the time in December, we did budget below the revenue forecast. As you know, the price of oil in the fall forecast was at $74 and projected revenue of $5.27 billion. We actually budgeted below that amount by about $389 million, looking at more of a $71 per barrel price. We expect with the interim forecast that will be released with budget amendments that will be lower. So again, Commissioner Galvin will be here tomorrow, and I know is going to have a conversation with you about the revenue picture and where we are today. Budget highlights that we have, you know, we, again, focusing on...
Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, if we're anticipating that the revised price per barrel is going downward, I think that's anticipation. When can we anticipate the administration in this starting the working process of reducing the O-10 budget so we don't get into an O-9 scenario?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, the administration is engaged in that right now with our agencies, and in the amended budget that we'll bring before you, we'll be making revisions to the 10 budget to deal with the current situation.
So when do you think we will engage in that process?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, they're due to you on February 18th. And the interim forecast will come out with that. The Department of Revenue will do the formal spring forecast as well. But in order for us, given the current environment, to really, you know, bring you as good information as we have, given where we are in the year, that the department's going to do these interim forecasts.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Ms. Rayfield?
Mr. Chairman, the budget focuses in on those priorities that we've discussed, you know, life, health, safety, transportation, education, energy. In the operating budget, the specific items that you'll see, of course, incorporate the second year of the three-year education plan that was approved by this legislature, the revenue sharing, community revenue sharing of $60 million. We do have the ongoing effort to pay down our unfunded liability in the retirement systems of the $451 million. We are including authorization for tax credits of $300 million. And then, of course, in general fund, the state employee bargaining unit contract increases of $31 million. And the capital budget, we've highlighted a couple areas for you. We've previously talked about gas line. Continuing our efforts to promote the gas line, the renewable energy fund of $50 million. We've included 20 school major maintenance projects, the, of course, federal highway and aviation dollars, which does include the general fund matching component of that, and then our water and sewer projects and grants. So that is a general highlight of what's in the budget. I have a chart if
Senator Elton, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Karen, on the school major maintenance at $40.5 million, was the major maintenance list submitted to the federal government to be potentially part of the federal stimulus package, or are you just envisioning that you want to accomplish this with general funds?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Elton, I know that there were several different iterations in the development of the economic stimulus package that talked about schools, that talked about particularly having to do with weatherization and energy-related projects. I believe that the Department of Education did provide the delegation with some, you know, trying to do an analysis of the projects on the major maintenance list that would meet those criteria. But I don't know that particular element is actually what ended up in the economic stimulus package, since it appears that most of those funds would come to the state as a grant or a formula. So I don't think any of those specific projects would be included, but they may have used that information to get an idea of what kind of need was out there.
On the capital budget, Ms. Rayfield, clearly absent from the capital list is school construction. And I know that the last 2 years there hasn't been requests from the administration, but the legislature has went ahead and funded school construction. And we still have the Kasaili case out there. And I take that case quite seriously. And I was wondering, why is that area being ignored? Have you reached a settlement on the Kasaili case? Is that the reason that school construction isn't in here? I haven't heard that case has been resolved. and I was wondering why the absence of school construction. I know that we have major maintenance in there, but I think the case revolves around adequate schools for students in rural Alaska.
Mr. Chairman, I do not know that the case has been resolved. I do not believe that it has been resolved. The Department of Education or the Department of Law could give you an update on that. What we proposed in the taking projects from education's major maintenance list was, again, to focus on existing facilities and buildings rather than new at this point in time. I know that's always a subject of conversation and
But in the past, we as a legislature, I think just last year or the year before, authorized school districts in the organized areas to continue to indebt the state of Alaska for school construction. And the governor signed that legislation, but continues to ignore the, or I haven't heard of any agreements or settlements or headway in regards to the Casale case, and that gives me some grave concern. We seem to be, and the legislature has proceeded and passed the legislation allowing organized areas to continue what they feel are adequate needs for school construction and continue to indebt the state of Alaska, and we continue to make those payments. But we haven't seen from this administration a plan to settle the Casale case, or the last, this being the third year coming forward to even address new school construction in rural Alaska. And I'm wondering if that message can be conveyed to the administration, and what response do we have to address that lawsuit and get that lawsuit settled, because it has been ongoing, and I think that it's time that we fess up and try to make some headway in settling that case.
Mr. Chairman, I can certainly deliver that, and we can have more discussion about how best to do that.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess even more pointed to that is the school that burned down there at Upper Kelskeg last week. Is there not any consideration for new construction under, because that place obviously needs a new school?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I know that the Department of Education and the Fire Marshal's Office are doing that evaluation of what the needs are for the school, what the insurance coverage is, and how best to move forward. I am certain that we'll get that information to you as soon as we have it.
And so, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Olson,
so there will be a provision under the capital budget to go ahead and include the school?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I haven't got the request yet from the department on what we would need to do to move forward. I'm certain once we do, we'll be having that discussion with
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On almost a lighter note, as we struggle through this process, the retirement system unfunded liability we've got up here at $451.2 million additional contribution to help us with the unfunded liability, which Mr. Chairman, I had several conversations with the administration and Ms. Rayfield encouraging them to put them in the budget, which I'm glad to see. But with that being said, and the times we're faced with, is the administration planning on reviewing the status of the unfunded liability and possibly adjusting that number if we're faced with a substantial revenue decline, or?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, the answer is yes. We're looking at that. I know that all of us would prefer to continue to keep that contribution at the maximum amount so that we can pay that down quicker, depending on what this revised forecast looks like. And we know, given the actuarial calculation of the rates, that we do have some excess in that $450 million in the 10 budget. But we're looking at that, and we may bring that forward to you in the amended budget.
Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank Ms. Rayfield for including that in the budget, and also with a caveat that I think we should all keep an open mind and possibly having to adjust that number, although I hate to not personally feed that unfunded liability and get it behind us, or at least at a more manageable level. But I think we do need to keep some flexibility, because I would expect that liability is well over $10 billion today. And we'll look at that number when we, as the calendar ticks here, so we can.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Ms. Rayfield?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to bring a visual perhaps for the folks who might be watching this. It's a snapshot basically of the state's budget, so you can see where the various components of the budget are. This is the total state budget, all funds, is $11.2 billion. And if I might, I just would quickly walk around the chart for the folks. Okay. Mr. Chairman, the big blue component of that is the agency operations. This is what basically is your 14 executive branch departments, the university, courts, and legislature. It represents about 33% of the total budget. And in this particular area is where we include funding for example, the bargaining unit agreements, our placeholders that we talked about earlier for potential budget amendments for 2010 and supplementals as well. So in the next chart, Mr. Chairman, the yellow is the formula programs that for the most part include our Medicaid budget. There are some smaller programs within that as well. We have seen some cost containment measures that are actually resulting in some savings in our Medicaid programs, which are very welcome. This represents about 13% of the total budget. The K-12 and pupil transportation portion is just under 10% of our total budget, although it's about 22% of the general fund in education. This includes the funding formula and pupil transportation. This is where our 53 school districts and approximately 128,000 students receive funding for those educational programs. This in our 2010 budget, the increase is just under $50 million for the increase in the base student allocation, the adjustments for intensive students, and continuing the implementation of the adjustments to the district cost factors. The next four slices actually represent the statewide appropriations that on the fiscal summary that we've come up with our consistent presentation include our direct deposit to the retirement systems, our community revenue sharing, the oil tax credits, and then of course our debt service obligations. And this represents about 10% of the total budget. Capital expenditures in the budget proposed for 10 is about $1.7 billion total. This represents just under 15% of the total budget request. There are several components of funding that help us with the capital budget, including the 307.2 of general funds, the proposed $238.4 million of the Alaska Housing Capital Corporation account that we spoke about earlier, federal funds of just over $1.1 billion. We did include, I know we had a lot of discussion last session about our corporation funds, and rather than using them in our debt service appropriation to keep those associated with the capital budget. So you will see AHFC dividends of about $22 million, AHFC dividends of $62.5 million, and ADA dividends of about $22 million in the capital budget. Within the capital budget, we are proposing gas line projects, that $80 million that I spoke about earlier. 20 of that would go to the AGIA reimbursement fund for the continuing work on the TransCanada project. We have included gas line projects in their own section of the capital bill, so you can see them identified. Both the operating and capital budgets have the gas line appropriations separated out. So I think that was something that we talked about last year.
On that point, there's no anticipation that there's going to be any assistance in the bullet line?
Mr. Chairman, I know that the administration is discussing legislation that may be necessary to assist the in-state line. We do have within the budget $5 million for ANGDA. I'm just going to turn around and make sure I said that.
Yeah,
Yes, I couldn't remember it was 4 or 5, but we have included $5 million for the ANGDA work to continue.
Senator Stedman?
Mr. Chairman, just if she could help me a little bit. Ledge Finance got a number of about $1.8 billion in capital. This is showing 1.7, and can you help me kind of rectify that? You know, the composition of 1.7, and are you allocating a portion within there for the legislature, or this is just what's on the table?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, I don't have anything here other than this. What we did on our visual is exclude the duplicate authorization, so I don't know if that can I am sorry, I cannot answer your question.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll check on that later, just so I understand the component parts. And there's, in reference to the previous question, there may be other issues coming at us, not only from the from the administration, but also requests from the legislature. A good example is a school that just burned out.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Ms. Rayfield? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, but Mr. Chairman, you asked a question about bullet line. Maybe I was napping. I heard referral to about the money in the budget. It's a capital piece. I heard a referral to the ANGDA line, which is not the bullet line. So I guess my question, what is there going to be money that's going to be allocated to a bullet line provision?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, at this point, there's not a specific appropriation for the bullet line. As I understand it, there's discussion about legislation that would be necessary to assist the development of that project. And I'm certain that there would be folks that could brief you on that if you would like that briefing.
Okay, so that's to be announced, the amount of money.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, at this point, I don't have a request in front of me for funding for a bullet line. As I understand it, it's a piece of legislation that would be necessary to help move that forward.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Ms. Rayfield?
The last piece on the pie chart, Mr. Chairman, relates to the permanent fund, and this represents 19.5% of the total budget. This is the amount for projected for 10, having to do with the payment of the dividend and also the inflation proofing.
And how much is that if we have 675,000 people in Alaska? What's that anticipated dividend amount?
Mr. Chairman, I am not certain what that estimated dividend amount is at the moment, but Department of Revenue could give you that.
That's probably the most important question people want answered.
Perhaps true, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed.
I did think it was important to note that when you look at the state budget, the $11.2 billion, roughly 60% of that budget does go out to communities and schools and individuals and organizations across the state through grant and formula and capital spending. So I think it's just a good to keep things into perspective. The last slide, Mr. Chairman, is really just to wrap up our goals here. We have many challenges. The goal, I think, and I've heard many of you say that also, is to protect our economy, to move our state forward. We have tools available to us to help accomplish that. We are looking for savings. We're seeking efficiencies. We're making budget reductions where it's practical to do so. We've implemented some management tools through the hiring freeze and restricting purchases. We know we're going to have to use some reserves and how best to do that, and which reserves will be an ongoing discussion here. But we think that we can manage carefully in the short term so that we can deal with the long-term stability of the state. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that presentation. For those that are listening, this was just an informational presentation, an overview from the administration to the Senate Finance Committee. We were not going to be taking any testimony from the audience. But thank you for that presentation. Do we have any final questions from Ms. Rayfield regarding her presentation? Senator Stedman.
I'd just like to thank Ms. Rayfield for coming forward. I know it's not the most pleasant situation to deal with. Clearly, it's more fun to have budget surplus we have to work on than what we're faced with. But I would just like to thank her for her time.
Thank you again. We're adjourned.